Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
I'm good, boys. How are you?
Good. Well, we had a serious debate earlier, so this is right up your alley. So we might not even talk sports because this fits into you, the singer of the station. If you had to choose, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, who is the better singer?
Oh boy. Yeah.
Which one of their songs did you usually sing along to more? Like, be honest.
Celine Dion. Okay, well, let me answer the first question. I think in her prime, Whitney Houston was probably the most talented out of all of them.
Okay.
I would say.
So it's good because if you would have said Celine Dion, Threads would have hung up on you because she she snubbed him at a gala event one night when he was playing for the Islanders.
Really?
Yeah, he's still rattled about it.
Are you telling me Celine Dion didn't know who Jason Strudwick was? That's stunning to me.
She really, it hasn't healed over yet, bud. So I'd walk.
Really?
Yeah, it's really irritating me. I was the only two Canadians probably in the whole room and she snubs me. I mean, what kind of an attitude is that?
What was your approach? Did you try and talk to her? Did you just brush fire and rub her elbow? Or what?
A mutual friend.
He didn't try the Rashog Timberlake move.
It was an introduction by a mutual friend and she just turned around and totally snubbed me.
Come on.
Yeah, every time her music comes on, I turn it off.
Did you have the long, unruly hair? Maybe she was intimidated.
I was in a suit. It wasn't the best suit, but still, it was a suit.
That shocked me.
I was 22, man. Listen, it's not the best fit, but it fit pretty well. And then, anyways, the whole thing just rattles me.
Huh. Yeah, well, no, I would take Whitney Houston over her. And I think the song from... The song from, what was the movie she was in with Kevin Costner again?
I Will Always Love You.
No, The Bodyguard.
Yeah, but that's the song, I Will Always Love You.
Yeah, The Bodyguard.
Yeah, but he asked the movie.
The song from that was Whitney Houston at the prime of her career.
Incredible. Yeah. And then she marries that dud. Why'd she ever marry that guy?
Bobby Brown?
I can't stand that guy, Humping Around. Why would you marry a guy that sang a song called Humping Around when you're Whitney Houston?
Like, if ever there was a red flag.
Oh.
You'd think that maybe that might have been it, hey?
Oh, my God. It's still, I mean, this has turned into like a People's Edition, but it just fires me up. It ruined her. It ruined her whole career. The guy dragged her to the bottom of the gutter.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, literally and figuratively, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're not even kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, sick. And now I don't know if you've ever heard her try and sing, but it just was no good after that.
No.
Good after that.
Well, remember when she tried to make her comeback and she sang? Oh, it broke my heart to hear her singing after that. Her voice was ruined because of the drugs and.
Yeah.
Oh, just, I'm almost getting weepy.
It was like she'd eaten a pack of Colts. Like,
oh.
She couldn't sing anymore. Yeah, it was
terrible.
A waste of a wonderful instrument.
Organ, they call it in the business.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say that on the radio waves. Hey, so how's the show going, fellas?
It's going great. Strudz has told us all day that he's going to perform next year with just his organ on stage. Yeah. So that's awesome.
That's what we call in the biz, Shogger.
Oh, yeah.
You should know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I know that. I just I try and keep it G-rated. That's all.
let's first of all talk about the series you were covering, the Habs and the Rangers. Like, I give the Rangers credit, but can you recall kind of a more pathetic performance for a team on the brink? They got 5 shots in the third period. They only had 18 shots the whole game.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. And, you know, you got to give New York some level of the credit, though, because as much as everybody expected Henrik Lundqvist to bounce back hard after a tough performance the game before, how about the Rangers defensively? And they just shut it down. I thought they did a really good job. So, you got to credit the Rangers, but yeah, when your season is on the line, you need everybody to be all hands on deck, and they just hit a flat note. There just wasn't much there. By the way, pet peeve of mine, and Strudz, maybe you can answer this, but on the goal, the one goal in the game, Bouillon, what's he doing? Like, what is with that? I hate this. When a defenseman goes down, there's a guy in front of him, guy behind him, and he goes down and lays his stick flat across the ice. Rather than attack the guy or get your stick in the lane to try and deflect the pass, you lay it down flat on the ice. You know, a little saucer pass over and it's in the back of the net. It drives me nuts. You take yourself completely out of the play and hope that you can lay your stick flat enough to knock if he happens to try and pass it right through it. It drives me nuts. And that's what Bouillon did on that play.
yeah, Schrager, tough place, right? I mean, he's trying to cover two guys, knowing that the dangerous player is in front of the net. Maybe you back off there. You know, maybe you back off and take the guy in front. But he's kind of a no-man's land. And you're right, he gives the passer a lot of time and the shooter a lot of time. So he doesn't eliminate one option or the other for his goalie to identify. If you go and take the shooter in the slot, he knows, Tatarski knows he's got a wraparound or vice versa, right? So it's a tough place, and a young D-man, a more veteran D-man, might have gone right at the passer, and so then the pass is maybe a little more junky than it was. So,
but it was Bouillon, I think, was it not? It wasn't Beaulieu.
I thought it was Beaulieu. It was Bouillon. Okay, then there's no excuse.
I think it was Frankie.
Okay.
And that was part of what bothered me, is that it was a veteran guy. But I see, I mean, Oilers defensemen do it all the time. Yeah. It's just a pet peeve of mine. I just feel like you're taking yourself out of the play and making yourself useless, hoping he's going to hit your stick.
Yeah.
Schmid used to do it all the time, too. Drove me insane.
Yeah, you're kind of, as a D-man, you're taught to not go behind the net, right? You're to just kind of stay in front of the net, especially if your partner's not come back yet or hasn't come back yet. So he's in a tough place. I mean, I feel for the guy. And, I mean, there's errors. That, I mean, how did the guy get alone in front? You know, that's a question that has to be asked, too. So he could have solved it with a better play there, but in reality, you're probably asking the wrong guy or pointing the finger at the wrong guy.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's just one of those things. And by the way, like, nice soft hands by Boyle to feather that pass over the stick too, right? So anyway, one of those things.
Will the West win in 3 or 4 against the Rangers?
It's a foregone conclusion, eh? Everybody's chalking it up to that.
No, I just don't see how they compete against either team. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably going to be the predominant thought heading in. The Rangers, you know, they've got a good goaltender that can play with either of the goalies left in the West. They've got a lot of pretty highly skilled players. Their decor I like. Like, I don't mind this team, and I think they're well coached. So I don't think it'll be as much of a walk as everybody seems to think it'll be. I think that they'll put up a fight. I would think they'll be able to push to 5 or 6 games, whichever team they end up against. But you definitely pick the team coming out of the West. I just don't know that it'll be the walk everybody thinks it will be.
Well, I guess when you look at the top things, I mean, the goaltender you mentioned, probably I'll give it to Lundqvist for the Rangers, that he's the top remaining goalie or playing the best right now. But when you look at the top centers for each team, the top D-men, and I think that's how you kind of evaluate teams at this point in the season. You go from the top down, and can the Rangers compete at center, number one center, and number one D?
Yeah, well, I mean, Ryan McDonagh right now, let's say at Chicago, Ryan McDonagh right now is playing all world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Girardi's playing pretty well. They're a pretty good pairing. Mm-hmm. They're not Keith and Seabrook. They don't have the experience in the winning path that those guys have, but they're pretty darn good. I mean, they played all night long against the Darnay, Gallagher, and Pacioretty line, and when they're and did a nice job of shutting those guys down. So that's a pretty good pairing. Stahl is a pretty good defenseman. Strahlman, like, I don't mind New York's top four. Chicago's got the better high end, I would say. But then the centers, I mean, look, one of the storylines in Chicago all year has been their need for a number two center. Michael Hanzus just isn't cutting it. So I honestly think Chicago, as crazy as this is, because they're the defending champions, I think the Rangers are probably hoping for Chicago. I think it's a better matchup for them. I don't think Crawford is as good. I think they feel like they can win that battle. But L.A., definitely the depth down the middle isn't even close. L.A. wins that battle.
Oh, yeah, and I look at the back end, and I know New York's got McDonagh. He's playing great, but, man, Drew Doughty is just on another level right now. He is so good for them. Quickly, Ryan, too, for the Edmonton Oilers, I talked about it earlier. Unless it's Ekblad, and even then I would still lean towards it. I know he's played 3 years as a junior, but whoever the Oilers use at number three, are they better suited to have the game plan that the kid's going back to junior regardless rather than bring another 18-year-old kid into what's being a losing environment?
Yeah, that's an interesting debate because you got to ask the question, what's to be gained by going back to junior for a guy who is ready, if he truly is ready? And Ekblad, if he truly is ready, and everybody thinks he is, what's to be gained by going back for another year? So, yeah, it's tough to say, man, because the top few picks normally have been able to transition. It hasn't really stunted them. It hasn't really, set them back that far. I think it depends on Darnell Nurse, too. I don't think you want Darnell Nurse and an 18-year-old defenseman on your team. So I think if Darnell Nurse is ready, then maybe they look at keeping him and sending the other guy back. But you don't want to go with two young guys like that. I just don't think that this team has any interest in trying to have two guys under the age of 20 playing on that blue line. I think that would be a big mistake. So I guess it depends on where Nurse is at.
Well, let's bring that, go from there. Let's say, would you feel comfortable then if the D that I assume would maybe be Nurse, Marinson, a Klefbom, Justin Schultz with all of 150 games, and Jeff Petrie at whatever, 200?
No.
Yeah, so there, I mean, that's, so now we're going back to saying maybe the only place Nurse can go is back to junior. Maybe one Marinson or Klefbom should start in the minors. I mean, I think it's way too young a D, and, you know, Mac Tissé doesn't want to have. He doesn't want to just bring someone in just to bring someone in. I think that's what he has to do so he can give these guys a chance to overripen. And I'm of the opposite. I'd be finding ways so I could have less young guys on my back end than I want. I'd have one of those.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I totally agree with you. And this is what I talked about this a lot towards the end of the Oilers season, because there was a point in time where I think it was Craig had his big media availability, not at the end of the year, but when things weren't going good at I think around the three-quarter mark. And he said, when he was asked about the blue line, he said it's going to be through development. And there were alarm bells going off in my head, just ding, 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 because I'm going, wait a second, who are you developing? Because you've got a group of young forwards here who are going to be kind of in the next 2-3 years kind of sliding into their peak and ready to go here. They're going to be well done. And you're waiting 3-4 years for anybody in your system to truly become a top pairing guy, if you even have that. So the problem is you've got, you know, you just threw the pizza in and the buns are almost ready to burn. Like, your dinner's not, you all got to time it so it's already at close to the same time, right? And they haven't done that. They've got this young D that they want to develop, but these forwards who you've only got so many years with these guys. So he needs to improve the D core fast, because his core forwards will be ready in the next few years.
Shogger, have yourself a great weekend. Maybe you and Struds, next time you get together, can have a Whitney Houston listening party.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Love to. Absolutely. I'll bring my Celine Dion, too, just to get him fired up.
Oh, yeah, we should. I think we're going to have Celine Dion intro music for Struds now every Friday.
We'll put our house coats on, sit around drinking wine with candles lit, listening to Whitney Houston.
Well, Well, that sounds like a regular night for you.
Well, just don't do it together.
Hey boys, try to switch it up this weekend, okay?
Yeah, I'll go Lulu's. No house coat for me, but I'll be in some nice comfy Lulu's stuff.
Okay. Get out of here, Rashad. Have a good weekend.